about the Great Disconnect. That's week three, and I've got just a short little paragraph of review. So we talked about the first month, the Black Camino, that was racing toward going off a cliff, and somebody rescued them in the midst of it and said, "Where are you going? I mean, this is life or death for you right now. What in the world were you thinking driving down that road? There were detour signs. You were not supposed to be on this road." And so anyway, they led them off the ramp and showed them the right way to go. And it also talked about embracing the principle and using leverage, because we can use leverage to help us. Otherwise, we can either embrace the principle or live with regrets. And nobody wants to live with regrets. It's not a fun feeling. There's times when that happens, but thank God we're Christians because we know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. We know where to take it. And then chapter 2, last week, we talked about retracing our steps. That doesn't really work. We retrace our steps. We can't fix it. We want to fix everything, and we can't fix it. We have to go back and start all over where we left off and say, "God, what did I do wrong? When did I get off the path and do what I did?" And there's a great scripture that goes with that. I didn't give you last week, but it says Jeremiah 18:5, talking about our society and the generation that we live in and the things that are all around us. It says they have stumbled from the ancient paths to walk in bypass, not on his highway. Mm-hmm. We've stumbled off of that, and we're not on his highway any longer. And then Jeremiah 14:10 says, "You have loved to wander, and you have not kept your feet in check." And that's where society is today. We've wandered off. There's really no absolutes, and we have not kept our feet in check. Now, to be able to leverage, in Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edges, then he must exert more energy. But wisdom has the advantage of giving success. Mm-hmm. When we seek wisdom, we can have greater success rather than live with a dull, you know, basically it's our decisions, isn't it? You know, the axe is dull, a dull decision. So, and then going into just a little bit more, we talked about decisions that we make. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 18 says, in our carnal mind, again, Jeremiah had to say this to them. In Jeremiah's day, he's called the weeping prophet, and I know that most of you know that. But Jeremiah lived with a verdict of doomsday, and he was the one to deliver it. So everybody hated him, and that's why he was the weeping prophet. But he said, again, the same thing that it says about the Camino that was going in the wrong direction. He said, "What are you doing on the road to Egypt? Don't you realize what you're doing? You're running away. You're not doing what God asked you to do, and you're on the road to Egypt." Sometimes that's what we feel like we're on, the road to Egypt. It's the wrong road. The road to Egypt really represents the world. We're Christians, or we think we know God. We're religious, and our society thinks that they do, and they're on the road to Egypt, and they don't even know it.
There's a couple of good illustrations in the chapter, and I don't want to get into all of them, but I want to quote a couple of them to help us understand tonight's The Great Disconnect. And it's sort of like a single woman says, "I want to meet one day and marry a great Christian guy who's really got his act together." Okay, that's her intention. But then she dates whoever asks her out, as long as he's cute. Or a high school freshman intends to graduate with a GPA that'll afford him options as he selects a college, but he neglects his studies. So you see, pardon?
God bless you.
Oh, God bless you.
You just wanted that blessing, didn't you?
So it's sort of the intention was there, but the pathway wasn't. And that's the disconnect in our minds. We think the intention is the pathway. But the pathway and the intention, they're disconnected. And our destination will be the pathway, not the intention. Because remember we said last week, direction, not intention, determines destination. One other one here. A married woman says, "I want to have a great relationship with my husband." But she makes the children a priority over him. So she's on the wrong path. If that was her destination, she has chosen a path that is heading her in the opposite direction. So that great disconnect, that's examples of what we're going to talk about this evening.
Has anybody ever heard of the Tickle Me Elmo? Real popular, little Elmo, Tickle Me Elmo. And it reminds me of the scripture in Timothy that in the last days there'll be just people who have tickle my ears. I want to hear good things. I don't want to deal with that. And Jeremiah, again, in chapter 30, verse 11, the poor guy, he had to deal with this all the time. He said, don't tell me anymore about the Holy One. I know how to live my life. Don't tell me anymore about it. And so before we get too much into the disconnects, we have to revisit the Amos chapter 9, verse 11, our 9-11, and that is repairing the breaches. You know, in the New Testament, it talks so much about building up the tabernacle of David, and we've jumped on that, and we think that mostly that talks about worship, you know, and dancing before the Lord and reviving ourselves, and that is all awesome because that is so much part of it, but it says repair the breaches when they're referring to that scripture. So there's a lot of broken places. You know, there's places in our own life that are broken, things that have to be taken care of. There's holes in our walls, not to mention society. I mean, we're talking to the body of Christ tonight, the ones that are just saying, God, I want this, I want all of this. And yet there's things that we need to fix as well in our families. So breach means a failure to perform some promise, openings or gaps. It's an act in disregard to a law or a contract or an agreement. Really, when you think about that as the body of Christ, a breach in a contract or an agreement that we've had with the Lord, it doesn't mean just the Lord, it means with each other, because it affects all of us. And so it's almost like a place where we have to say, okay, bye. I got to go home right now. You know, the Bible clearly says about leaving our gift at the altar and go reconcile with your brother or sister or anybody that has ought against you, where you didn't live the Christian life in front of them. You hurt them. You did something wrong. And even if they're offended with you, don't even know why, we go and we say, God, you know, Lord, help me if I've done something wrong to hurt them and offend them. You know, the Bible is really clear about that. And sometimes we don't get breakthrough because we don't do that. We don't leave our gift at the altar, you know, our worship at the altar, our praise at the altar. Coming to church is really what it means. And it says, now go take care of these things. You know, that could be a daily thing that we need to do. That is something that we have to take care of, because we're living testimonies. We're living epistles before the Lord. So we get reconciled. And that's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. But it says we have to identify, and I love the description that you gave on Sunday when Nehemiah was going to identify the walls and what array it
was. He was going to inspect them, right, or examine them.
Right. He was going to inspect the walls to see what damage was really done. And the meaning of that was to probe the wounds. You know, to probe and find out what the wounds are, how desperate are the wounds. You know, we live in desperate times, and the wounds are severe. And the Bible says, is there a balm in Gilead? Mm-hmm. You know, Jeremiah said it again. Poor Jeremiah. He said, is there a balm in Gilead? Is there medicine to help my people? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for our families today? Is there any hope for society when we see all these things coming down?
And there is.
And there is a hope. That's what the awesome part is. Jesus came. That's the hope. But it goes back to staying on the path. Mm-hmm. It goes back to staying on the path that he gave us. So because we are born again to reign again.
Yep.
We're taking our authority. So this chapter is about the art of lostness. We can have an art about being lost.
You know what's
lost.
Weird about being lost? You don't know you are.
No.
That's what's weird about it. And then when you find out you've already been lost for such a long time, or for a season, that you've already, like, don't know where you are. So you go, I'm lost. And say, yeah, I wish I'd have known I was lost at the moment I got lost. But we don't usually have that luxury. Lost doesn't reveal itself until we start getting the consequences of our wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And then we start going, gee, maybe I'm on the wrong path here. Because I like what Andy said, plans, intentions, your spousal expectations, none of that counts. You always end up on the road that you have chosen to take. Mm-hmm. doesn't matter the environment around you. Those things rarely miss or redirect you or misdirect you. It is your chosen path. And then when you get down the road, you think, gee, I didn't want to be here. And there's no other really alternative but to turn around and go back.
You know, men sometimes get a bad rap as far as directions. I don't need directions. They can just keep on. I said a bad rap.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Because there are some of us that are not on purpose, but we're directionally challenged. You know, I can't stand it when I go to a new grocery store, especially when I'm in a hurry, and I have no idea where things are, so I'm running back and forth, up and down, and in there way too long, or way Target has changed their format. I'm like, couldn't it have just stayed the way it was? So now I'm lost in the store. So I like to just go to a really small store so I don't get lost, because I can be directionally challenged. The thing about that is we don't get lost on purpose.
Yeah.
It's not our intention to go stray away. We don't do that on purpose, and God knows that. You know, we're in unfamiliar territory, and we don't do it on purpose. Me, by nature, I'm an explorer. Wherever I go, I almost have to go down every road, up every hill, down everywhere. I have to explore. I got to find out all my surroundings.
And
that's
I
where
go
I'm
with
at.
Her.
And he goes with me most of the time, not all the time. Well, one example, I was in Florida years ago when my daughter Mary and her two little boys were there, and I went to visit. They were living there at the time, and just right outside the condo where she was staying was a real rural area. Now it isn't. It's like a highway going through it, but it was a rural area. So, of course, I had to explore it. And I went down in my vehicle down this road, and it was sort of like a road. And so I went down the road and got in further and further, and then I noticed on both sides it was total swamp. And what I was going into was swamp. And my front two wheels were swamped. And the first chapter was swamp my ride, and that's what happened with me. And I'm like, oh, God, there could be alligators in there. I mean, there's alligators everywhere. And I've got two of my younger grandsons in the car. I've gone too far. I didn't know. I mean, thank God he wasn't in the car then. Oh, man, would I have heard it.
On her GPS. Yeah, don't go that way.
So all I could do was pray, God, get me out of here. I mean, I didn't have a cell phone on me, nothing. Get us out of here. So I am, like, backing it up, and he let me out. God pulled me out of that dilemma. Thank God he pulled me out. And it could have been totally a different story, but he did. So those are some of the things that we get ourselves into, and we had no intention of doing that.
You didn't plan on that. But, you know, here's the thing. That's a cute story, and it's fun, and yay, you got out.
Because we didn't get eaten.
But when it happens in life, the problem with that is usually in your 20s and 30s, your intentions are to have this kind of marriage. And then when you get to your 40s and 50s, you found that you took the wrong path, and you've lost 20 years of a season.
Yeah.
And then you wake up one day and you go, oh, man, this is the wrong highway. This is not where I wanted to be. Well, that's why stories like that are a quick fix most of the time. But in our life, this is so serious because life goes so quickly and it's in seasons. And if you take the wrong path seasonally, you'll find yourself lost or losing a large percentage of your life. This isn't just, oh, I made a wrong choice. I'm going to go stop at the gas station and find out where I'm at. You can do that in some things, but the things that we're making reference to, your spiritual life, your marital life, your relationship with your children, your financial life, et cetera, you know, these are seasonal, and before you know it, they're hard to reverse. Because you lose all of this chunk of time. And it's very serious. But thanks be to God, we're born again to reign again. And we have the beauty of the Holy Spirit to be able to come and the supernatural investment of the gifts of the Spirit. And this is where I'm excited about the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, getting a revelational knowledge of God's word and impartation. And suddenly, what would have normally taken another 20 years to correct, you find yourself correcting in a very short, abbreviated time because the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Amen? That's what the good news about this is. If it was just a secular conference, we'd be like, okay, I just lost 20 years of my life. What do I do to reverse it? But it can instantaneously be reversed. And this is the great message or the good news. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Maybe we should know better by now at our age and, you know, some of the decisions that we made. But there's a scripture in Jeremiah 31:21. It says maybe this is what we need to do, put up better road marks. And that is one of the things about the gifts of the Spirit. That's a road mark that we can put up. We can utilize those gifts and use it for leverage and get to where we need to go. But Jeremiah 31:21 says maybe the road markers, you know, like the rumble strips that are on the side of the road, can help us. It's a guidepost or a signal. And I know it might not look the same, whatever translation they're using, but our minds are directed to the highway from which we went. Yeah, that is, I don't know. Yeah, this is a New American. Mm-hmm. But our minds are directed to the highways from which we went. We have to go back to those highways, and God will give us. We need those guideposts. We are gifts to one another. We're guideposts to one another. So we can do this. We can actually do it. You know, we have fallen so far from the foundations of our country, from our founding fathers, that we need to get back on track as Americans. And it almost looks like that's not possible, but that's not true. If Nineveh got back on track, we can get back on track. And so we can pray and we can do that. And it always goes back, if my people will humble themselves and turn. And if we make the turn as we go, the world can follow.
You know, that's such an important point. Mm-hmm. I want to preach there. Because as we go, the world will go. As we as the church goes, this nation will follow. I'm persuaded of that. But the church has lost its way. You know, we have secularized our thinking, and our guideposts along the highway have been just like the world's markers. And we think we're just merrily going on our way. And the facts are we're not. But this is the good news. God's raising up a people in a time and a generation that are saying, you know what? It's God's way, not my way. I'm doing it His way. And I believe that there's enough of us doing it, momentum is going to build. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, there is so much loss, confusion. There's so much controversy. And there's such loss at this point in this generation that people are desperate. I guess it's like, how desperate do you have to get before you make a decision to go, you know what, I'm going to choose God's path? I think America's almost there. Maybe not quite yet, but I got a feeling there's a lot of people that are desperate enough to say, I want to choose another path. But they've got to find the path. We're the pioneers. Yay!
You know, the exciting thing about following someone the right way in the beginning, the chapter in the beginning, that car actually said, follow me and I'll take you to the right road.
I'll take you out of
here. That is the easiest way to get back to the path, by having a brother and sister in the Lord say, this is the way. No, this is the way. And we start veering. No, this is the way. You know, when we have that relationship, because we can guide them back. Chapter 11, verse 10 says, in that day, the nations, which are all of us, the Gentiles, will be able to ride, will be going to back to the root of Jesse. We will resort back to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples. And his resting place, which is his spirit inside of us, will be glorious. That's a promise from God. We're going to go back to the root of Jesse, which is Jesus Christ himself. And we're going to have a life that is ascending to gloriousness. But we have to return. We have to be that radical person, because that's what root actually means. It means the root of Jesse is the radical position that Christians take. It's the radical positions that we live in. There's so many definitions, and I'm just going to give you a bunch of one-line meanings of the word radical. It's an idea, a path, or a belief that guides you. It's a ruling opinion. You know what a Navstar is? Most of us do. But a Navstar, this is what it does. It's the satellite that orbits the Earth, and it's our GPS. Mm-hmm. It's our global positioning system. That's what our GPS is. It satellites the Earth. It's up there, out there in space somewhere. Well, we have our own truly GPS. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He has set us in heavenly places to rule and reign with
Him.
With Christ Jesus.
Our GPS.
This is more than Christian talk. This is more than Christian theory. This is a lifestyle to be lived, a lifestyle to grasp and to understand and be able to see and say, no, this isn't the life God has for me. It's not the life He has for the workplace. It's not the life He has for my children. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, and what do I see up here? My eyes are the same as His eyes, obviously. I'm sitting right next to Him on the throne. So what do I see from His perspective? That's what we have to see. Once we see that perspective, it's so much easier to grasp hold of it. But when we're so earthbound and we're looking at the literal roads that we're on and the paths and the ruts that we're in, we're like, God, there's no hope. But once we get back in the position of our seating that we're supposed to live in, we live there. We can get there. We can stay in that seat, never to get out of it again. That is a possibility. And that's what we're talking about tonight, staying in that pathway, because Jesus has raised it up. But God raised it up. It's not Mama's pathway anymore. Mama raised us, but Jesus wants to raise us now. He's like, let me get a hold of the scrap of your neck. You think Mama had it? Let me have it. Let me show you how good I can be to you. Let me show you how I'm a dad that can put you on my shoulder and laugh with you and go down the path and love on you and teach you. It's all from His heavenly perspective. It's not the same anyway with boys that were raised without a dad or moms with, or girls that were raised without a father and vice versa with mothers. You know, where we come up and we think, God, who am I? And we fight with this identity crisis our whole life. And we bring, that's earthbound stuff.
Yeah.
And I understand the pain of all that. Mm-hmm. You know, I know pain from 10 siblings. I know pain. But I don't have to stay there. I can live life from the heavenly seat and do what God's word tells me to do and let Jesus raise me all over again. Right. Start as a child and let Him raise us up all over again. And that's His promise for us. That's our true north path that He has for us. That's the course that we're set on. The word root is going back to the origin. It's making the reforms, going thoroughly through. That's what a root means. It means going thoroughly through. Don't stop short. See, so many of us as Christian, we stop short and say, it didn't work. I didn't get my healing. I didn't get my breakthrough. I didn't get the desire of my heart. I don't get it. I'm just not getting it because we don't have the understanding of going thoroughly through with this. Yeah. Jesus finished. He finished His race. He knew what His calling was, and He finished His race. We have to be finishers, but we have to understand why it's so good to finish, why it's so important to be thorough. Radical means to be fundamental, reformation, extreme. Jesus was extreme for us. Sometimes people say, you are so extreme, you know, in this. He was so extreme. He left heaven and died a brutal death, and we need to remind ourselves of that daily. We haven't suffered to the point of shedding blood, His word says. And so we can take this. We can do this. We can thoroughly go through. We can finish the race that's been marked out for us. We can put those signposts back up and say, I can do this, God. It means to be a revivalist, arise from, be a solution oriented person. I can offer the solutions. We are the ones that offer the solutions to the world. That's why we have to grow up fast and let Jesus raise us. We have the solutions inside of us. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah,
we have the solutions inside of us. And you might think, yeah, I don't think so. You have no idea what's going on in my head. Yes, you do. You have the solutions inside of us. We're Daniel sitting here.
Yeah.
We're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe we're living with a Babylonian name, but that's not who we really are. You go ahead and call me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that's not who I am.
Yeah.
Jesus has named me, renamed me. He's given me a new name, and I know who I am. If you don't know what the meaning of your name means, you need to know what it means. My name, Rita, my real name is Rita. That's a secret.
Rita, Rita.
But my grandfather called me Tina, and that's what stuck, because my middle name's Christina. And you know what? I went from Rita Faithful to Christina Tina, which means anointed, because it's a derivative of anointed. And I know what my name is, and I'm not going to let the devil tell me what my name is. We've got to know who we are in Christ. And it's in the knowing. That's where we're winning. That's why you're here tonight. It's in the knowing. When I know what I know, what I know, you can't defeat me.
Turn that GPS on.
Amen.
Yeah, I got to give you an illustration. You know, we were impressed by the Holy Spirit the other day to make a contact with this other ministry. And it was just like the GPS. Contact this pastor. You know, turn left at, you know, Harvard and whatever. And I'm like, okay. So I called and made the contact and shared with them what God put on our heart. And they responded by saying, this is amazing that you would say this, because we really needed to hear what you just said. And I'll fill you in on this stuff later. It's still developing. It's pretty exciting. But and then a day later, he sent me a message today that says, look at the scripture this other pastor in this other state gave me. And it basically said that I, Lewis, would meet with him and offer what I offered to him in the scripture that he was impressed by the GPS to give him. And so it went from like, okay, I was in Lorraine and got the word from the GPS and went to Strongsville, and Strongsville went to Florida, and Florida went back to Strongsville, and Strongsville went to Westlake, and Westlake went back to Lorraine. And it's all about hands-free living. It is the connection of your heavenly GPS, where you and I are really seated. It's the connection of the Holy Spirit that is saying, don't turn there. You're going to have to reroute. If you turn there, you're not following the agreed upon route. You ever notice that when you press your nav star thing and you choose the route and it begins to tell you how to get there, the path? And if you turn the opposite way, what does it say to you?
Rerouting.
It'll say, in 800 feet, make a U-turn. Go back the other way. And that's the beauty, that's the advantage we have with choosing this path and not getting disconnect. I think the disconnect is in the road signs of this world, the popular opinion of the majority around us, our flesh, all those things. But if we'll stay connected in the Spirit of God, we can override all those things. And even though it doesn't look like we're supposed to take that road, the GPS knows that's the direction. And you and I have got to trust in it. So stay connected to the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's the GPS we're trusting in. Not Siri, that's for sure. But there's also the opposite of that, of being rooted in Christ. And that's the free radical, if I can use a chemistry term. A free radical, you know, we want to be radical, but a free radical, so I'm going to be free in this, is a rebel. It's unstable, it means. It's highly reactive, and it can damage the cells. It's unpaired, being an electron that does not share the orbit with other electrons. Think about that. Unpaired. When Jesus sent them out, he sent them out as pairs. We have to do this together.
In agreement. With the Word.
Agreement with the Word, agreement with prayer, agreement with the truth. We can't be free radicals. We can't be independent from one another. You know, I know a lot of people watch, in an emergency, I can understand watching it on online. And a lot of people today are choosing to have their church at home. I don't mean a home church. I'm talking about just watching it on TV. And that is so awesome for elderly people and shut-in people. But there's something about coming together as a body. We need each other. The Lord said in the last days especially that we can't forsake the fellowshipping of one another. It's serious, because we become, and we didn't even know when we got off the path, a free radical.
Yeah, because I need your influence.
Right.
I need to observe you. I need to feel your emotion. because you teach me, you instruct me. When I look at you, when I see you interact with your family or your spouse or your friends, or how you worship or how you respond to the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, I become paired with you rather than segregating myself and fall into this free radical mentality where suddenly I'm off on my own choosing. So there's beauty in the corporate anointing of direction that comes as we discover it together. It's that unity, that's that anointing factor.
Mm. There's some scriptures that go with it that just are unbelievably awesome. But Judges 26 verse 25 says, in the background of it actually says, they did what was right in their own eyes. But in the Judges, you know, they were taken out of Egypt and they were taken through the path and they learned things the hard way. And then they'd get right because they have a great judge, and then they wouldn't have a judge and they would have a judge. And so they would go back and forth and they'd have a generation of peace and tranquility. Good church. Good church, you know, good generation for church. And then they wouldn't. And it got to the point where they didn't have a judge anymore because it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. So they did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what our generation is doing. And then in Isaiah 57:10 says, you were tired and you tried all these, you were tired out by the length of your road, yet you did not say, it's hopeless doing it myself. You found renewed strength. We find renewed strength and instead of going back to the Word or instead of going back to church, or like take 9/11 for an example. And after 9/11, the churches were filled because we got the fear of God in us. But then we get renewed strength and we stray a little bit and we say, I can do this myself. Even though I'm tired, I can do this myself. We can't. We can't do it ourselves. We have to remember that, you know, we didn't get lost on purpose. It wasn't something that we tried to do. But now we have to know that always, whatever road we choose to take, it is going to put us where we're going to end up. And it's not always where we want to end up.
Keep going, baby.
Okay. Our human propensity is to lean to our own nature. That's our propensity. We just... our fallen nature, what we're used to, we lean that way. And it's hard. It's hard to do that because we might think, well, that's okay. You know, I don't have to connect the dots. But this is a form maybe of we could explain American religion today. And the only reason that I would even say this and why it's so important to understand these kind of things is because it's the just the overall sentiments that lead us astray. And this is an overall sentiment. And it says, as long as our intentions are good, as long as our heart is in the right place, as long as we do our best and we try our hardest, then it doesn't really matter which path we take. We believe someday we're going to end up in a good place. You know, like the blanket of, it all works together for good to them that love God, but that are called according to His purpose.
Or His path.
His path. Yeah. His plan. His mission. We don't use that part. And we comfort one another and say, it's going to be okay. What we should probably say is, what happened? Why did this end up like this? Where did you go off? What were you, not in a bad way, what were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking.
That's just it. I wasn't thinking.
I wasn't thinking because, you know, I was like 24.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened with Solomon. He, you know, you mentioned a little bit last week, he had a disconnect.
Proverbs 7.
From his...
it's a great story.
...viewpoint. He had a disconnect from the window, Proverbs 7, and you can read it later, but 6 through 23. You know, and we saw that... and we've said before that at age 25, the mental lobe doesn't really develop.
Frontal.
Well, mental too. It just does not develop, the frontal lobe of people, of children, of young adults. And it's a proven fact that the frontal lobe doesn't develop. And as a result, they make poor choices. There's a disconnect with the poor choices that they're making. And I hope I don't offend anybody in here that's under 25, but that's just the way it is. And so that's why you need to trust the people who love you to say, let me help you with these connects. I know you're an adult and I respect you, but let me help you with these disconnects because I only want the best for you. I'm not trying to control. Well, that's what
Solomon said in verse 7. He said, I looked through the lattice and I saw the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. A youth who lacked judgment. In other words, he didn't have the maturity to have the reason to make the right choice. And what he ended up doing is getting on the wrong path because of the circumstances that convinced him that it was his good choice. Mm-hmm. He had no idea that it was a path that was going to lead to destruction. Mm-hmm. Even along the way, he could have said, don't do it, don't do it. He was like, what's the matter with you? This is great. You know, this is going to work out well. Because, and I like what Andy said in the book, he said, young people haven't lived long enough to acquire the experience that can produce good judgment. And then he says this, but I can say because experience doesn't always lead to good judgment, but experience is certainly critical to good judgment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The road that he was on, was toxic. You know, we love the word diva, but, you know, usually today's society, the diva is a devil diva. You know, it's the god of this world diva. It's not funny. It's just not funny. It leads to, eventually, as we go through these scriptures, she said, I went to my confessional. I paid my vows today. And she used persuasive words and smooth talk. And she was like leading him as an ox to slaughter. Gaps. There are gaps all over our society. This is just one of the gaps, but it's a major gap in our society. The promiscuity and the things that we tolerate and the things that we accept and the lifestyles that we choose. They're huge gaps. It's like a celebrity that's leading somebody to a club and they get away with it because of all the bling. And we follow them. We watch them on TV. We think the celebrities are awesome, and it's become our society's new normal. And it's a diva, but it's a devil diva. And this is where it says it leads us to. My son, do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. It's not an event. They're steps that have been taken. Mm-hmm. It's a well-worn path. He was warned. He's trying to warn the victims who are brought down. This road is a broad road that many go that direction. He would have said to him, you're not unique. There's nothing new under the sun. This emotion that you're feeling, you're part of a big crowd, a herd, a flock that's going down that direction. So listen to the wisdom, because there is nothing new. There's no good that's going to come out of this. It's all too predictable. Mm-hmm. It's predictable. Tell the judge that, well, I'm under 25. Do I get a break? You know, that's not going to happen. We're responsible for our decision. Somebody is writing a script for our life. Somebody's writing it. There's a script that's being written for America right now. And we have to make a choice to say, I don't think so. You're not writing a script for me. And you're not writing a script for my family. And you're not writing a script for the church.
My children, my grandchildren. Children. You know, the Psalm 139, the script's been written. It's the path. It's God's plan for your life. And the story in Proverbs 7 says, this woman came to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. So I'm not just talking about the promiscuity example here. I'm talking about the seduction to go the wrong path. Mm-hmm. It is a crafty intent. It also said she is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. And the whole idea was to get this man to follow her direction. And those are the elements that you and I face all the time. And here's the seduction further for the Christian. She said, I paid my vows. In other words, we could interpret that as saying, like the Roman Catholics, I went and did my confession. But for us Protestants or Pentecostals, we'd say, I took it to the cross. I asked for forgiveness. But still, to continue to walk on that path, Andy says this, we get both the relief that comes with forgiveness and the thrill that comes from sin when we continue on that path. So as we're walking to that house, as we're going to that place, we're saying, Jesus, please forgive me. Yahoo! it's going to be fun.
You know, that's not just, this is a metaphor of relationships,
it's all it is,
finances,
yeah. But it's great. You have to study it out, Proverbs.
Of our life. But in verse 27, it says, it's a highway that leads to death, or at least hell on earth. A lot of people are living hell on earth. It's a four-lane highway. It's not a pastime. It's a pathway that we're going down. It's serious. A scripture in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3 says, the spirit of wisdom, we can let his spirit of wisdom and understanding, his spirit of counsel and knowledge, the fear of the Lord can come upon us. It's a spirit that can come upon us.
That's right.
And it says he will not judge by what he sees. We need to say, I'm not going to judge by what I see, and I'm not going to, or nor by my, I'm not by what I hear. I'm not going to make a decision by what I hear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit tell me what to think, feel, and do. I'm going to be so intimate with the Holy Spirit that you can't get me off the path.
Right.
I know what to do, and I know if I have to leave my alms at the altar and go and make restitution with whatever I have done wrong, because I walk by faith and not by sight. We are people who walk by faith. That was a unique thing. The Jewish people in the Old Testament didn't get that. They didn't understand walking by faith and not by sight. They had law, 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 law. Yeah. But we have spirit and faith, spirit and faith. We are so different than that. We have such a leverage and advantage point. It says we operate by the kingdom and not with earth words, but with heaven's demonstration. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. And I kind of paraphrased it. But it says we operate from kingdom's words, not earth's words.
Yeah, listen to this in that story. Proverbs 7, going back to it again, the example, verses 21 and 22. Look at the hook. This is the hook. With persuasive words, she led him astray.
Words.
Now, what did you just say? Mm-hmm. You just talked about
kingdom words only.
With persuasive words, she led him astray. Mm-hmm. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Mm-hmm. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. You know, it's not like a celebrity going into a club. You're an ox going into a slaughter.
When you take all the blinders off, that's really what it is.
And you think you're a celebrity going into a club. And
all dressed up.
All dressed up, and this is going to be great. In other words, in verse 22, he says, like a deer, then he goes on more examples, like a deer stepping into a noose until an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. That's why the persuasive words of this generation and the Dr. Phil mentality of this generation, not that he doesn't do some good, but we have to rely totally and solely upon Holy Spirit-infused words that come from the throne of God.
Even as the days get near, draw near, we have to be so wise. Our part in this, you know, you picture that young man, you're looking down from the lattice like Solomon said. He's probably talking about his own children. I mean, I'm sure he had hundreds of them since he had hundreds of wives. And so he's watching because...
700.
Yeah. So he's watching this young man walk, and this young man's not listening to him because I'm sure he knew what Solomon thought. But you watch him going that direction, a young man growing up in church, and this is what he's involved in, versus how the Bible describes us. Our part, we're supposed to be mountain pulverizers. Any mountain in front of us, we pulverize it and say, you know, this is not going to stand in our way. And that's found in Isaiah 41:15. We are problem solvers. We are head crushers. You know, when you see the promise of why we're here today, you see the promise in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 that says that Lucifer, the devil himself, will come and nip at your heel. He'll bite your heel. Yeah, he'll try to get it. He'll cause some pain. He'll make some wounds happen. But once we recognize what he's doing, how long do you let a dog bite on your foot when you're in a path? You do something about it. He's a dirty dog, and he's biting on our paths. He's chewing our feet. And when are we going to realize that we are mountain pulverizers and we are head crushers? Because the Bible literally says we are head crushers. With a person born from the woman, which is us, We crush his head. Versus led astray. Our kids growing up led astray, not knowing who they are.
You know what's cool about that is the head, the mind,
right,
the thoughts, mm-hmm, the language, the speech. We crush that.
Right,
and
right.
Listen to what verse 24 and 5 says in Proverbs 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Remember, she's seducing with her words. She's giving him her spiel. Now he says, my son, listen. Pay attention to what I say. So we have what she says and what he says. Pay attention to what I say. Then listen to this. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her what?
In her past.
It's all about the path. This was a path. This was not an event. This wasn't a night out. This wasn't a club encounter. Mm-hmm. This wasn't fun with the kids, the guys, the girls, the hanging out. This was a path. So, well, I'll save next year. I'm going to blow it on this. I've always wanted this boat. I'm just going to take our money out of our savings account. And we're going to buy this boat.
It's a path.
It's not an event. It's not a purchase. It's a path. Mm-hmm. You say, well, you know, I should probably go apologize to her, but she makes me so mad. You know, last time I apologized, when is she going to apologize?
It's a path.
That's a path. That's not a decision. That's not an event. That's not she'll get over it. You've just chosen a path. Mm-hmm. And 30 years from now, or 20 years from now, or however many years, you're going to be living alone, renting a one-room bedroom apartment above somebody's garage. And you're going to be sitting there by yourself and you're thinking, what the heck did I do? How did I end up here? Because you walked the path. That's what the destination of the path was. The arrow pierced his liver. He found himself destroyed because in verse 26 says, many are the victims that she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. You think you're going to be different? You think I'm going to be different? No. You're not going to be different. You're not going to be excluded. You're going to say, well, I'm too smart for that. I'm not going to get caught. Okay. You know, if that's what you really think, maybe when your frontal lobe gets, you know, fully developed, you'll go, shoot, I guess I did get caught, you know. But that's why we have to live this life so connected to the Holy Spirit and not disconnected, because there's a generation that's following us that has only seen us do church and not very well.
This is a perfect example. Solomon he was the wisest man that there ever was, and he knew how to do church for a while. He really knew how to do it. But then he was raising children. And that's what's exciting about this generation. They're like, you know, sometimes the dad would say, do as I say, not as I do. And that's what Solomon was saying in a lot of his writings. Do as I say, but not as I do. Because look what he did. You know, he failed. He didn't do what his father did, David. And now his sons aren't doing what he said to do. And we are raising up a new generation that's saying, you know, I saw a lot of yuck in the house. And I'm not going that route, not interested, don't want anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. But then there's another part of that same generation that's saying, you know what? I get an opportunity to do this right. And I'm going to do this right. I'm going to follow hard after God, and I'm going to love him. And that's what God is raising up right now, a generation that has such a zeal, and they are so powerful in God. And it's very exciting. We're going to look at them and say, yes, go. That's what we want them to do. But there's a story in Solomon and his son, Rehoboam. When Solomon died, his oldest son was taking over, and the leaders came to him and said, you know what? Your father became a tyrant in his end. Yeah. And we want you. Are you going to be softer and treat us kinder? We will serve you. But if you don't, he said, well, let me get back to you. I'll give you an answer. He didn't have his frontal lobe fully developed. And he said, let me get back with you.
And yeah, and you know what the problem was?
What?
He consulted other people whose frontal lobe wasn't fully developed.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He went to them and he said, okay, come back in another day. And this is what they said to him. You go tell those people this. And this is exactly what he tells him. He said, my finger is thicker than my father's loins. He whipped you, but I will whip you with scorpions. And they are like, okay, that's all I needed to hear. Listen to the scripture in their response with that.
Yeah.
If I can find it real
quick. Wasn't a real good source of counsel.
No, it says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16, but it says, what portion do we have in David? We don't want anything to do with you now, David, that whole kingdom. It says, we have no inheritance in the sons of Jesse. They prophesied against themselves. They said, we have no inheritance with the sons of Jesse. And you know what? They still don't. They still don't have an inheritance with Jesus because he is the son of David, who is the son of Jesse. They prophesied that I don't want it, because they were looking from earthly natural ways with an earthly natural leader. And he said, to your tents, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. That is a sad day. That was a sad day for Israel's nation. The 10 tribes separated from the 12 tribes. And then Rehoboam only had two portions of the tribes, and all they did was hurt each other. Church splits, fighting one another. All they did was hurt one another because they didn't have a kingdom mentality to let the true king. God said all along, you don't need a king. I'll be your king. But we want a king like the world.
Yeah.
The only king that even came close to a king like the world pretty much was David. And that's why, and I know that there was other good ones that did wonderful things too. But he said, you don't need a king. Just hear my voice. Do what I tell you to do, and things would work out. And today it's the same way. We get astray sometimes listening to man, when we should know the word of God ourselves.
Yeah.
And we should know the spirit of God ourselves and follow hard after God ourselves, link together with like-minded Christians and not play church anymore. You know, that's where God is taking us. He's taking us to a place that's holy. It's holy ground, because this is not a pastime. Rehoboam made major mistakes, and we're going through financial crisis. We're doing things that we don't have to do.
You know, I like what Andy said. If your goal as a lady is to drop 2 dress sizes by Christmas, you don't have lunch at the donut shop. Okay, now let me get the guys. Andy said, if you have a desire to remain faithful to your wife and have a marriage where you grow old together, you don't linger online in the chat room with members of the opposite sex. You see, those aren't pastimes. Those are pathways. And that is our biggest challenge. It's sort of like coming up in the end of the year, all of the exercise equipment industry is going to begin having these infomercials for all of us to buy treadmills. So we get them for Christmas, and then by January 15th, we sell them. Because it's a pastime. It's not a pathway, right? And so we have to leverage the path that we're on. And here's the beauty about this. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not a hard thing.
Mm-mm.
It is a joyous thing. And as you continue to follow the Spirit directions, it becomes an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is like add-ons. God just keeps giving you add-ons. You know, we're experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really cool for the be as old as we are and be in ministry as long as we've been. We're going to be saved 40 years next April. I mean, that's a long time. And I'm like, okay, God, there's really not much more you want to do with us or give us, is there? And he keeps adding stuff on. It's like, God, you want us to turn here and go do that? Okay. And then as soon as we come around the corner, oh, look at Tina, what's on the highway. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Papa. I didn't realize you're going to do that for us. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. That is incredible. I'm so glad I took this path. See, that's what he has in store for us. All of us, whether like you're 8, Josiah becoming king, or you're 80, it doesn't matter. Hezekiah, whoever. You and I can start tonight, and say, I'm going to trust the directions of God. I'm not going to allow myself to get disconnected. Somebody has got to connect the dots in your life. And that's the Holy Spirit.
In Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19, it says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder on the things of the past. We can start all over again. Tonight's the night that we start all over again. We truly feel like we've been born again.
Yeah.
You know, that we are learning, this has got to be all spirit and none of us. Totally and completely hands-free. You know, and let him do it. It's the filter of not going through the mind, but going through the Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit. And if he wants to use my mind, then he can use my mind. But it's spirit to spirit in what he says, not mind and then spirit and, you know, the confusion with all that. It's spirit to spirit. Whatever you tell me, that's what I want to do. I want to be so close to your spirit. It's spirit to spirit. And then my mind, because I've got it renewed, he's able to speak through my mind and use my mind to do the right thing then and follow up. And it's exciting. He's taking us to a place as the body of Christ, to signs and wonders, to healing.
Amen.
To gifts of the Spirit being poured out. He said in the last days, I'm pouring out my Spirit. Ready or not, it's coming. It's coming. We are living in the last days. We are seeing things. And I know that there's a lot of skeptics out there because they haven't seen the reality of God. But they're going to see more than they ever thought that they would see. Because we are getting so many people who are spirit to spirit. Souls are going to be saved. There's going to be a great ingathering. He's calling the body of Christ to be a healthy body that says, you know, it's not just the pastors or leaders. I love on you. If I come in this door and I see somebody over there, the Holy Spirit says, get to them quickly. And you rush to them and you minister to them. That's the only way it's going to work. The same thing in the marketplace, wherever you're at, you listen and you say, Father, what do I have to say? What do I have to do now? I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what you need us to do. Because we are in this great ingathering of souls, and it's going to take every single one of us to be a part of it. That's what's exciting about it. We need everybody to hear God's voice and to speak life to each person in our own families. We had a time of prayer with our whole family and brought all of our grandchildren in and laid on them and prophesied over them and prayed for them and declared their gifts that, you know, that we felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to us. And our youngest one, of course, our really youngest one's going to be born in a couple of weeks, but our youngest one is 4 years old. And when she went out the door, she was like, let's do this again really soon. I want you to pray for me really soon. And we're like, we will.
It was amazing.
Want that.
She said, can you please pray again, Papa? Pray again, okay?
Pray over me like that. We are declaring who they are. We're not just waiting to see who they are. We're declaring who they are. And as we do that toward one another as well, we're seeing our city turned upside down just like the apostles did. We're linking arm to arm. We're becoming more unified. And I almost promise that I will close with this scripture. But it says, do not call to mind the former things. We don't have time for our mistakes. We don't have time for the pain.
Let him go.
Let him go. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. That means it's going to be a suddenly. Will you not be aware of it? That's a question from God. I want you to be aware of it. Are you going to be ready? I'm excited. I want to pour this out, and I want everybody to be ready for it. That was a question from God. And it says, I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, as a new Christian, those were scriptures I memorized. But now, oh my God, now we're in the desert and we're the springs in the desert. There's a roadway. God is making things real and powerful and exciting because we're seeing what he has for us. We are now leaning in. Our bent now is toward the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We don't want to learn things the hard way anymore. We want to learn things according to His Word, because you know why? The world can't afford it. We don't have any time for this. Mm-hmm. These aren't isolated circumstances. We're winding down. Trust me, it's the last page. These are steps that lead us somewhere, because life is connected. If we get lost on the road, usually we can get back on track. This is just a summary. It might take minutes. It might take hours. But getting lost in life, it's waste of season.
It's a season.
It can be life itself. Yeah. Or worse, it can be eternal life. This is serious stuff.
Yeah,
every one of
serious.
Our decisions. Yeah. It's relational, financial, ethical, moral, all these decisions.
We saw something the other night, and we're really praying for direction. Bishop Noel Jones is initiating a movement in America to speak life to the 7 million incarcerated young black men in our prison system. That he didn't use the terminology, got on the wrong pathway. But as we were hearing what they were saying, we in our understanding was saying, this is an opportunity for the body of Christ to go to these young men even before they get there, or anyone who's heading in that direction. We're wise enough because we're looking through the lattice. And we can detour them. We could be the black Camino roaring down the highway to say, stop. And here's the thing that I feel persuaded. I'm going to minister on it Sunday if the Lord's allowing me to do that. But is we owe this world an encounter with God. Mm-hmm. If you know Jesus, you're saved. You owe this world an encounter with God. And I'm going to use the example of the four lepers who were outside the city, and they said, why do we sit here until we die? Went into the enemy's camp and found the spoil, and they said, this is not right. We got to go back and tell them. And so they said, look, we have found something, and we owe the rest of the people this encounter. And I think whether it's a community just 2 minutes from here up Turn Warner Road in Garfield Heights, or whether it's up in Slavic Village, or it's over here in Independence, or it's around the corner here. I don't know what all these communities are. We owe them an encounter with God. And the only way you can give somebody an encounter with God is if you've encountered Him yourself. And here's the questions we need to ask. Are there disconnects in your life? Where are you disconnected? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know where I'm disconnected. Well, ask this question. Are there discrepancies between where you desire in your heart and what you are doing with your life? Are there discrepancies with that? Then maybe there's a disconnect there. But all you have to do is ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to show you where those are. And this is the beauty about this whole presentation, is that He will redirect your steps. He tells us that He will direct our steps. Lean not on our own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge God. And He will direct our steps. So I can get the direction I need if I'll just lean fully on Him. So I need to look at the alignment between my intentions and my direction. Are my intentions and my direction aligned? And if they're not, I need to align them. And one last thing. Let me just say this quickly, Tina. Can I do this?
Of course.
All right. Well, I don't want to take all your time.
No,
here,
I only have a one line.
One line?
And I don't even have to share it.
Okay. A lot of times when we choose the wrong path and things crash, Andy uses a sample in the book about a man who had overspent in his life. Lots of debt. Every year he got a Christmas bonus, you know, so he spent it before he got it, thinking that he would just pay it off when he got it. Well, this year the company wasn't able to give the Christmas bonuses. And it was a substantial amount, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands. And he came to Andy and he said, I can't believe that God would allow this to happen. And he pulled the God card. And Andy had to look at him and say, listen, it wasn't God, it was your disconnect. So now God's responsible? No, he's not responsible. How can a God like this allow this to happen to our great nation, or allow this to happen to my family, or allow this to happen? Now I'm going to spend 10 years in prison. God, why don't you do something? And I'll tell you, folks, I've had so many people call me and say, pray for me, I'm going to have to deal with this, I got to go to court, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you know, I understand, but were you speeding? Yeah, but I just, you know, the mercies of the new Lord are new every morning. And I believe and I agree with you, but you know what? You're probably going to have to pay that fine, because that was the path that you chose. And so in order to get this world their encounter, we have to have a re-encounter. And we need to ask. And I think we should take a few minutes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in just a moment right here in this room. And you talk to God about it, because it's very serious, not only for your own life and for those connected to you, but also for this generation. They have no hope and no help, but that the people of God rise up and say, this is the way. Follow hard after him, because this is what he's done in my life. What was your last statement, Tina?
That's okay.
Go ahead, give it.
Well, we were, the seriousness of all of it is, you know, the one of the words, the definitions of radical was thorough. You know, we need to be thorough about God's kingdom and about church and about serving God, because life is in the balance for so many people. He loves souls. And in the last days, he said, I want my house to be full. That's his heart. And he said, go out into the byways and the highways and compel them to come in. To compel somebody to come in means it's effort on our part. It means sacrifice. It means a relationship. It means, you know, we did the Joshua Kids for 21 years, and there's probably half the boys are incarcerated from Joshua Kids. I would try to get sponsors and say, thank you for your money, but I need your time. I need you to invest in these boys. I need you to make a difference. Grab them by the hand. Take them somewhere. Let them be, you know, what they, show them who they can be. Well, that didn't happen to half of them. It just didn't happen. And we didn't grab them. We weren't thorough enough. And the church is being, we're rising up. Mm-hmm. And like what we saw with, what was the pastor's name, Evan Jones?
Pastor Noel Jones.
Noel Jones.
Bishop Jones.
Bishop Jones. They're rising up to say, come on, we've got to be ready when they do come out. We've got to be ready before they go in, you know, and we've got to get in there to make a difference. And that's just one section of our society to set free. That's just one section. You know, so we've got a lot of work to do, don't we?
I really think, and I don't want to get on a soapbox here, and I'm not real educated on the whole issue, but I do see the system of this country is so leaned toward disadvantaging, if I'm speaking out of sorts here, you help me, Pastor Tossie and some of the others, the young black male. And we find them in a path that is well worn, and they're almost pushed in that direction. And I keep looking at all of these churches and these storefronts in every major city and inner city in America. And I'm thinking, what are we doing besides shouting, bucking, and running and having chicken dinners? And I'm including myself now. And our kids are just on a path that's destruction. Folks, we need to really go before God and say, Father, we repent for this next season. Here's the beauty. It's a new season. You know that song? I think there's a song about it. It's a new season. It's a new day. Help me. What? Fresh anointing coming my way.
I do want to share this one scripture.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
This scripture gives peace to us.
We can't stop.
It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. It says, the government will be no end. His government's not going to end.
No.
There's going to be an increase of
Jesus,
his government.
Help us, Lord.
We're living in the
Jesus,
day of Jesus. Increase. We're
yes.
living in the day of his kingdom coming.
Thank you, Lord.
And peace. And we're going to have the throne of David established over us.
Help
his
us,
kingdom
Lord.
Is going to be established. And it is going to be upheld. We are upholding it. We're making a difference with our
Thank
words
you,
of our mouth. Justice and righteousness
Thank you, Lord.
From this forevermore, he said.
Thank
and
you, Lord.
The last word in that is the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Mm-hmm.
God is zealous.
Do it, Jesus.
He is zealous for this to happen.
Consume
and
us,
he
Lord.
Is going to make it happen. His zeal is an all-consuming fire.
Yes,
and
Lord.
He's going to raise his bride
Move
up.
Into
and it's
this
going
room
to be a
right
beautiful,
it,
glorious,
you,
holy
Hallelujah.
Bride that he's coming for. And aren't you grateful
you,
that you're
Fill
one
us,
of those?
God. Touch us,
Woo,
Jesus.
We're one of those.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
so
we
government,
are.
Lay it. We
Amen.
Put it on his shoulders and he puts it back on our shoulders with grace to carry it.
Amen.
It's his government, and it's his shoulders. They're big shoulders. And he
Thank
says,
you,
okay,
Lord.
Now I'm going to put it on. It's an easy yoke. You can wear it.
We're ready.
I'm right here with you.
We're ready.
And we're
Thank
ready.
You, Why don't you with me just close your eyes, lift your hands up to the Lord, and just begin to ask him right there silently. You can just ask him, Father, where am I disconnected, Lord? Where are my intention and my direction not in alignment? Father, show me, God. Show me, Lord. Father, I repent, Father, for this season that I've lost my way. But God, I'm ready to gather up myself and get on the right path. Lord, I know that my next season is going to be the best season of my life. The rest of my life will be the best of my life. I'm looking forward to it, God. I promise from this day forward, Jesus, I will uphold your word. I will stay connected to the GPS from heaven. I will operate out of the seating in heaven. I will not operate from the signs and the rumble strips of this world. And Lord God, I thank you. I will see it, Father, not with my eyes, but by your spirit. I'm not going to be seduced by the flattery of speech of this world and the empty promises of a generation that have lost their way. I'm not going to be like Rehoboam, who consulted his young friends, were even more difficult than he was even more ignorant than he was, and gave him the counsel that wrecked a nation, that caused destruction to come upon a people. Father, tonight, we just ask you that you help us, Father, in Infuse upon us tonight, God. This is a moment. This is a strategic moment. This is an inflection point. This is a time where you are visiting your church. You're visiting your people, God, and you're speaking to us in our spirit. And Lord, we just repent, God. I just repent of my ways, going my wrong way, making wrong decisions. And Lord God, thank you for your mercy that even now I'm able to know this and hear this and change my direction, God. Father, I thank you that I'm having an encounter with you. I need an encounter with you, God. I need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. I need to weep again. I need to be able to sense your presence, God. I need to be humbled, Lord. I need to be broken before you again, God. Lord, we want to be totally reliant upon you. Lord, help us, Father, if our hearts have become hardened or we become prideful or boastful in any manner. Lord, we're not as smart as we thought we were. We, oh God, need you. We need your word, Father. And we want again, God, return to the altars of our fathers. We once again want to humble ourselves, get on our knees, get on our faces, and say, Lord, show us the way. Show us the path to dwell in. Father, repair the breach, oh God. Repair the paths, Lord. Those places that have fallen down, God, whether it's in marriage or family or relationships or children or ministry, or our calling, our love languages, God, every aspect, Father, we want to recapture, we want to rekindle tonight, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you speak over this room right now? Holy Spirit, speak into every heart. Speak in every heart, God. Father, we must have a fresh encounter with you, Lord. We must have a fresh encounter because this world is starving. They're starving. They're under siege, even as Israel was under siege in 2 Kings. They're under siege. They're eating donkey head. They're eating donkey dung. They're eating children. They're consuming their own children. Oh, God. Father, even the kings are wearing sackcloth. We're tearing our own robes because we're such a desperate time. But Father, you're raising up four of us. You're raising up a created people. Father, in these last days, we are it. God, we assume the role. We say, use us, Father, and we're ready to walk into the enemy's camp and take back everything the devil has stolen. And Father, thank you for blessing us. But God, we owe that generation behind the wall that's eating donkey heads and children and are starving, we owe them an encounter with God. Hallelujah. So we got to go back to the gatekeepers. We got to go back to them. And Father, that we could visit this generation with the powerful news of restoration and renewal and the kingdom of God. So Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I pray for every man and woman in this room. I thank you that they're not here by error. They're not here by their own choice or decision. They're here tonight by divine appointment. They're here tonight, God, because you see their heart. You know them. You know them. You know them so well, Father, even before they were formed in their mother's womb, regardless of what path they've gone down, regardless of the poor choices they've made, regardless of the disconnect in the past. God's reaching in and reaching out to you and me tonight, and he's saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Yoke upon me, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I'll give you rest. Father, restore, I pray, God. Restore, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, we give you thanks, we give you glory, God. Thank you, Lord, from this moment on, God. Our life will never be the same. It'll never, 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 never be the same. We promise, God, it'll never be the same. Hands-free living, just hearing your voice, not with our eyes, not with what we feel, but what I hear. Help me to hear, God. Help me to hear, Father. Take away my dullness of hearing. Take away my hard heart, God. And let me hear your voice, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you that Northeastern Ohio is going to be a revival spot in the world. It's going to be a model. It's going to be a place. Cleveland will be restored. Neighborhoods will be restored. Father God, we're going to see homes restored, children restored. Thank you, Father. We're going to empty out prisons. We're going to empty them out, God. We're going to empty out correctional institutions. Juvenile delinquencies, God, is going to drop. The crime rate's going to drop. Father, because we're going to see your purpose. Because all things do work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God, I'm called. I'm called tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just tell him you're going to receive his call. Just tell him tonight that you accept his call. You accept his purpose. You accept his pathway. You accept the direction. And you know that God's going to work it out in your life. Thank you, Lord God. Father, homes that have been crushed, families that have been ruined, relationships that have gone asunder, God, maybe to misdirection, finances that have been lost. I just speak over every person tonight that there is restoration coming. There is renewal. And Father, what took a whole lifetime to lose will only take an overnight to gain. Hallelujah. Even as Elisha prophesied and said, in 24 hours, there will be enough barley and enough wheat, and there'll be enough spoil to feed this entire city. God, help us not to be skeptical, but help us to be receptacle. Help us, oh God, to receive the word of the Lord, that we can see overnight restoration of our families, our children, our grandchildren, God. And we thank you, Lord. Bless the house of God tonight, Father. Send a revival, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, that it's a new season, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you. I just sense that God's speaking to hearts, giving you direction, giving you new pathways. I just sense the Holy Spirit is really affirming some stuff in your lives. I can hardly wait to see the new results. I can hardly wait to see the overnight restoration. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the makeovers. Thank you, Lord, that's happening. It's happening. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. Thank you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these wonderful folks, God. I bless them, Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Whew, thank you, Lord. Well, I just had a little encounter there with Jesus, so I hope I didn't keep you too long, but it was good. God is good all the time. Amen.